we're approaching a season our guest calls vegetable turnover, the moment in the autumn where root vegetables, which grow in the ground at cool temperatures, things like parsnips, carrots, and beets are showing up in our produce sections, our farmers markets, our CSA baskets.
And we want to hear what you have to say about those root vegetables. Do you have a favorite recipe for using them? Is there a particular variety you like to use? Do you need some inspiration, maybe how to use those lumpy, not always the most attractive-looking veggies? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Terry Milligan joins us now. Terry is a chef and culinary speaker and instructor who teaches classes around Wisconsin. Her food articles appear in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the magazine Edible Door. Terry, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me again. It's always nice to be on.
Well, Terry, we named a few names there. Can you name some more? What kind of veggies, root vegetables, are going to be showing up, you know, at the farmers markets and things like that over the next couple of weeks?
Well, you mentioned some of the common ones, which are your carrots and your parsnips might not be as common to some folks, but carrots and beets. But we've got the parsnips coming. You've got rutabagas, which I thought was interesting that that was one of your sponsors. So we have our rutabagas coming. We've got an interesting kind of really knobby vegetable called celeriac. It's kind of got a celery flavor, and lots of folks have that staring at them in their bags. Radishes all the time, and turnips are also very popular right now.
And so what are some of the best ways to cook those root vegetables? Are they, do they lend themselves particularly well to a particular kind of preparation?
Well, they're really very good in a lot of aspects. They're great in soups, so that would be a simmer and probably maybe a puree if you wanted to make a bisque. They're good sautéed, but my favorite is roasting the root vegetables because you're really pulling out all the flavors and you're getting, because the root vegetables have a little kind of a sugary content, they kind of caramelize when they roast. So you get a really nice flavor from roasting those vegetables.
And just talk us through a basic oven roasting of some root vegetables. I know the temperatures might vary in the seasonings, but what's, if somebody wants to try this at home, what's a good rule of thumb for doing that?
Rule of thumb is put your oven on between 375, 400. If it's a convection, I usually go down to 375. You get, because it circulates, gets a little more heat than some regular ovens. Just peel your vegetables, cube them in fairly similar sizes so that they roast at the same time, about an inch or 2 inch cube. Toss them with a little extra virgin olive oil, a little salt, pepper. If you've got some leftover fresh herbs still in the garden, you could throw some of those in. And then you just lay those flat. Make sure that they're pretty even layered on a parchment or foil-lined baking pan, like a cookie sheet. And what I like to do, this is my little tip, I like to sprinkle about a teaspoon of sugar, actually, over the vegetables. Not a lot, but just a little bit. And that draws out some of the more the sugar and caramelizes the vegetables. You just pop them in the oven. I check them after about 20 minutes and see how they're doing, but they could go longer depending on how many you're making.
And Terry, what about eating some of these raw? Do any of them lend themselves to that?
Well, that's one of my favorite things to do with root vegetables. On my website, I've got a great salad. I've actually been teaching it at a lot of classes in the last 2 weeks because it is one of my favorites. It's a shaved vegetable root salad, and you can use whatever root vegetables you have. The secret is peeling them, and I like to julienne them, and julienne means just making them very thinly sliced. You can get little mandolin slicers to do that, which aren't very expensive, or you can do it by hand. And then I toss them all together raw. You get a lot of different flavors. I like to add a few nuts, maybe a walnut or a pecan. And then I like to add, because I live in Door County, I use dried cherries, but you could use dried cranberries as well. And a simple vinaigrette dressing, because it's this time of year, I use some hard cider as my base for the dressing, so you get a little autumn flavor. You won't get drunk off of it. It's only a quarter cup, but it's a fun thing to use in a vinaigrette.
Except you've got the rest of the bottle sitting next to you.
That's, well, that is always the case. You only use the fourth cup, so then you can enjoy the rest of the bottle.
We've got that recipe, by the way, on at WPR.org on the Central Time page. You can also find it via the Central Time Facebook page. Talking to Terry Milligan, a chef here in Wisconsin, talking about cooking with seasonal root vegetables. Beets, parsnips, turnips, rutabaga, all that stuff, Terry, I got to say, these can be divisive foods. And I know this from personal experience. I like them all. The rest of my family likes them not at all. How can we be ambassadors? How can we persuade people who don't like these vegetables to try them and hopefully to like them?
Well, it's like a young child who doesn't like to eat a vegetable. You sneak them in. So you can start with something actually sweet, like a brownie, and use roasted beets in that recipe. I roast the beets and puree them and put them in the brownie, and they're getting chocolate and that beet mixed together. Think of it as a red velvet cake without the dye. You get the beets in there instead. So you get this really, really kind of moist chocolate, and they're never going to know there's a beet in there. You can also do fun things with soups that they're pureed, or a dip where I roast the vegetables and make a hummus or a pesto with them.
And Terry, going back to the raw, you mentioned celeriac, which is, I have to say, of the root vegetables, one of the oddest looking. Yeah. I mean,
it is scary.
It's hairy, scary. And I think what's scary is you look at it and you think, how do I get inside that? And so one of the things that we do at home is actually a shaved raw celeriac salad, mm-hmm. again, with a mustard-based vinaigrette usually.
Exactly.
And it's very tasty. But, you know, these root vegetables are a little more substantial than some others because they are in the ground and they go through often a frost or two. What do we need to know about cutting them, peeling them, getting them to the point where we can actually cook them and enjoy them?
Well, depending on which one you're using, you're going to use a vegetable peeler or with your things that are a little more knobby like a celeriac, you're going to use a paring knife. I don't think you could use a vegetable peeler too well on that. And you want to get the skin off of it just because, as you said, it is a root vegetable. So it's been in the ground, and you don't necessarily want that skin on. And then I just do my regular kind of wash of them after they've been peeled and chop them into whatever I'm going to be doing, if it's a bisque or my little salad where I'm going to shave them. And they do hold their color quite nicely when they're shaved, especially getting a lot of colors like the red beets, different colored carrots. You've got carrots that are purple, white, and the traditional orange. Lots of things that you can add to things that are raw like that.
I've made a celeriac salad, actually a celeriac slaw once. It has the distinction of being the only food that my children have actually spit out the second
it
got into their mouths. I liked it okay, though. Let's talk...
Well, they tried it, at least.
Exactly. And they'll never, ever try it again. Let's talk about storage. Now, these are our winter, fall crops. How long do these root vegetables keep? Where should we keep them to keep them fresh the longest?
Well, for those who might be lucky enough to have an old-fashioned root cellar, which is what it sounds like, it's something in your basement or in the occult. Some have actually dug them into the ground. It's very nice and kind of chilled down there. You could keep root vegetables down there in something that they can kind of aerate in, maybe a basket, or some people actually hang root vegetables in pantyhose and they can hang them so they get air in them. It's an unusual thing to use, but it works. And you keep them down there until you need them for a month, 2 months. If you aren't that fortunate to have a root cellar, then you can put them in your refrigerator in a paper bag and put it in your produce bin so that they stay in some sort of container. If you just throw them in there without any protection like a bag, those carrots, you might see carrots and parsnips especially getting very limp. Mm-hmm. So that keeps them pretty crisp.
We're talking with Terry Milligan right now. She's a Wisconsin chef and culinary instructor. And we're talking about how to use root vegetables like carrots, parsnips, turnips, and other late fall favorites.
And we're taking your calls as well at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite root vegetable? Is there a mysterious root vegetable that you transformed into your favorite fall treat? Is there one that you're looking forward to? Or is there one that is a complete and utter mystery to you that you could use some help with? You grew it in your garden. You found it at the farmer's market, whatever, you need some advice from Terry, call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post your questions and find some recipes on the Central Time Facebook page.
Right now, we're picking up our conversation about root vegetables and how to enjoy them with Chef Terry Milligan.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan or foe of beets, turnips, parsnips, rutabaga, carrots? You got to like carrots. Do you have a recipe for one of those things, or do you need some advice from Terry on what to do with it? Even celeriac. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
So, Terry, I want to back up just a step because we've started talking about how to use them, but we haven't talked about how to select them. How do we know if it's a particularly good parsnip or turnip or beet?
Well, the main thing you want to do is make sure the root vegetable is firm. So similar to when you pull out a vegetable from your bin in your refrigerator and it's kind of soft, that's not a good one to use anymore. So you want to make sure they're nice and firm. You could even give that carrot a little crack and see if it's nice and crisp. So those are your, that's when you know they're the freshest, when they're nice and firm like that. You also, if you can, look to make sure there aren't big blemishes. I mean, they are root vegetables, so they aren't, as I say in my the two articles I've written, they aren't going to win any beauty pageants, but they don't need to have lots of big blemishes. They might have a few little scarfs here and there, but make sure that they're in pretty nice shape.
Let's go to our callers now. Deborah is on the line in Michigan. Deborah, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I would never have ever in my life thought I loved turnips, but I can't remember where I had these turnip mashed potatoes, but they were great. So I Googled it and came up with a recipe by Martha Stewart, who is one of my icons. I really admire her. And here, it's very easy. 1 pound turnips, about 2 medium, peeled and diced large, 1 pound Yukon potatoes, peeled and diced large, 1 dried bay leaf, coarse salt and ground pepper, 3 tablespoons cream, sour cream, but cream would work.
Uh-huh.
1 tablespoon unsalted butter, and I would probably use more butter. Unsalted is absolutely necessary. And so in you bring in a saucepan, you bring it all to boil until it's tender, and drain it. And
you mash them up, Deborah. I think it's just like mashed potatoes from there on out. But that idea of mashing in turnips with your taters, Terry.
Well, and lots of different root vegetables can actually be mashed. That's a great way to use them and to, as you were trying to say, get those family members that don't want to eat the root vegetables. They'll think it's a potato or it does have some potatoes in, but you also are adding those turnips, some other items to that mixture. But that's a great way to use them.
Well, and it sounds like Joshua in Oshkosh has another thing to mix with potatoes. Joshua, what do you have for us?
It's kind of funny that you all were just talking about mashed potatoes. Beets, mashed potatoes, and beets.
Beets and mashed potatoes.
You're not going to sneak that in.
Oh, yeah.
Do they come out pink?
No. They come out like a pinkish red, depending on how many beets you use. But it's a fun festive thing, something that would be good for Halloween or Christmas with a green garnish.
Great.
Wow. So I have to admit, Joshua, that is not something I ever would have thought of. So how much of the beet, I mean, is it a really strong beet flavor or is it tempered a little bit with the potatoes?
It's honestly, it does temper with the potatoes very nicely. It makes a good flavor, not a super overpoweringly beet flavor. But it just depends on how you decide to flavor the potatoes yourself, whether you go for a spicier or just more mild seasoning like a basil or oregano or something along those lines. So it's just kind of depending on the way you like your potatoes, just add beets in with it, and it does not overpower it, but it does give it an extreme health benefit and a great flavor to match.
Wow. Well, that's a great, that's a really interesting idea.
Well, I'll have to try that one.
Well, Terry, you try it out and you can report back to us.
I will report back.
Thanks for that call, Joshua. We'll go next to Mark. Mark is on the line in Toma. Mark, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to tell us about, Mark?
I wanted to give you a couple of more ways of storing vegetables. Even since I was a boy, we always kept carrots in 20-gallon crocks and sand over the winter.
In sand?
You pretty much dig them up when you're ready for them, and they're just like out of the garden.
Interesting. You said you had a couple storage tips?
Well, also we kept squash. Now I keep it in a corner, in a shelving in a cool spot in the basement. But we used to keep squash in a straw pile in a barn, which is, a cool area in the barn, but it never freezes all winter. And that was always just like getting them out of the garden also.
Huh. Mark, thank you so much. So those carrots in a crock filled with sand, I'd never heard of that, Terry.
Well, I can understand the straw for sure, because that's going to keep the them from freezing, probably getting, keeps them a little warm, and probably the sand does the same thing. I've never heard of that, but it does make sense. It's kind of like a mock dirt almost that mm-hmm. they're in there and staying a little bit warm enough not to freeze.
Thanks for that call, Mark. And I want to talk with Leslie in Elgin because she wants to bring up one of my favorite root vegetables. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. I grew these things called Jerusalem artichokes in my garden, and they're huge plants, and they're super-duper invasive. But they weren't what I thought they were. They're not the globe artichokes. But they say that they're edible, and I want to dig them up. But the tubers look really frightening. And are they edible, and what do I do with them?
And they're also called sunchokes. Yeah.
Oh, that's what it is, sunchokes. Yep, that's it.
No, it goes by both names. And Terry, is that something that you like to whip up?
Well, they are another one of those vegetables that are get confused with the green artichoke, and they're actually they call it a corm, a CORMS, those Jerusalem artichokes, which means they're actually a swollen kind of bulb. Bulb, so they're a different type of item. But they are, as you said, called sunchokes as well. Lots of people do eat them raw and shaved, similar to the shaved salads that we've had, so that's used a lot. They are pretty starchy, like a potato and a turnip, so you could probably do the mashed potato suggestion, as some other callers have said, maybe mix them in with some Yukon Gold or some other potatoes. But you could mash those up, and even the putting that little cream in, like your previous caller did with the turnips and the Yukons, that would work well. But they do have quite a bit of a starch content in them, so they would work good for a potato.
Well, and I'll say that what we do is we roast them, like similar to how you were talking about earlier in the program, Terry. We cut them in, about the same size pieces, mm-hmm. olive oil, salt, and they actually have just a little sweetness to them, and they do have that kind of almost puffiness when they roast, like a Yukon Gold potato would. I will mm-hmm. say you might want to peel them because they can cause a little gastric distress. Otherwise.
Well, lots of our root vegetables have some kickback like that.
We're talking to Terry Milligan about cooking with root vegetables, the beets and turnips and rutabagas and carrots of the world. We'll go back to our callers now with Georgia on the line in Cambridge. Georgia, hi.
Hi. I took a wild edibles class many years ago and at UW Parkside, and I was introduced to salsify, and I learned how to identify it, and we cooked it with in cream sauce. It was really interesting because when you cut it, it's white on the inside, but as soon as the juice is exposed to the air, it turns red. And I thought it was great. I didn't have much luck. I used to live in Door County. I didn't have much luck growing it, and I've never seen it in a store.
Georgia, thanks. That I don't think I've ever heard of that, Terry. Are you familiar with that?
It is rather, it is something that you don't see that much. It almost looks, when you look at it, it almost looks like a carrot or a parsnip. It's kind of got a brownish-white coating, but it has that tapered look to it. But it is, lots of people see it as having some herbal properties, some almost medicinal properties to a degree. But it is something that you don't see that much. It has, as I said, the look of the parsnip and a little creamier white flesh like that. But it could be, it's actually a member of the dandelion family in its lineage. Is something that if you can find it, you could use it similar to a parsnip and roast it.
A lot of the things we've been talking about have been side dishes or soups or the chocolate beet brownies. What about a main course that really highlights those root vegetables?
Well, one of my favorites and easiest is a roasted vegetable mixture made in a cast iron skillet. And then you add your favorite. It can be a store-bought sausage. Stores have now such nice sausages that are homemade, or not homemade, but are pre-made, similar to things that you in the old days would make yourself and have to put into casings. Now you can get all these varietals. And I like an apple chicken sausage. Mm. And it's really nice to add that into your roasted vegetables kind of midway. And it comes out, you've got the whole meal is right there in a skillet. And it's ready to, you can actually put the skillet right on the table on a hot pad and serve it right from the skillet.
And that recipe also is linked on the Facebook page and on WPR.org.
And speaking of the Facebook page, we heard from Carrie. A quick question. Carrie has some large beets, wonders if she should parboil them before roasting them. Terry, I've never done that. I always just cut them up and roast them. But anything to be gained by parboiling them first?
Well, I tend not to parboil them only because I think you lose some of the color and some of the nutritional value in the parboiling because it goes out into the water. So if it's a really large beet, what I usually do is just, as I think you just mentioned, slice it into quarters or halves, or if it's really big, I guess eighths. And that you can still put in a little, I usually pack them in an aluminum foil packet so they're encased, and put it on a cookie sheet tray in my oven in case they drip through a little bit. Roast it until you can put a paring knife easily into the flesh of the beet. Now, a large beet could take up to an hour, but cutting them and roasting them, I think, is far superior than boiling them.
Terry, thanks a lot for joining us. A lot of great advice.
Well, thank you.
That's Terry Milligan, chef, culinary speaker, instructor. We've been talking to her about cooking with root vegetables. She writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the magazine Edible Door. And we've got some of her recipes linked over at the Central Time Facebook page. Or you can go to WPR.org, find the Central Time page, and get them there. And if you cook one of these, take a picture, post it on the Central Time Facebook page.